tuning in for the past 10 years, you know that I am a psychotherapist and a sex therapist and the author of the groundbreaking book on relationships, a book that I wish I had had when I was beginning my own dating and relationship life. The book is For Better, For Worse, Forever. Discover the path to lasting love, so that if you are serious, and this is something I ask my patients all the time, and interested in really being able to do a great assessment, I know it's not sexy, I know it's not romantic to be talking about assessments when you are looking at a potential partner, but the reality is that we assess everything in our life, and what can be more important is it making sure that we really know who our partner is and is not, particularly given the high divorce rate, the domestic violence statistics rate, this teenage dating abuse, and the college teenage abuse as well. The fact is that we have to be very, very careful who we allow and let into our life. I'm also the advice columnist for Dan's Papers in the Hamptons and in Palm Beach. I am an expert guest on national radio and television, and probably the greatest love other than my husband, Jim, is the work that I do in my private practice in New York City and East Hampton. But today, I want to begin the show in a very different way. I don't know how many of you have been following the catastrophes that are going on in the Middle East. But when I was a little girl growing up in Winnipeg, Canada, right across the street was another little girl, and her name was Vivian Silver. And we used to play together and skip together, and our parents would socialize together. Well, years later, Vivian moved to Israel. She moved to a kibbutz, and on October the 7th, 2023 of this year, Vivian Silver was slaughtered. She was burned to death on October the 7th by Hamas. And the irony of all of this is that Vivian Silver has been a peace activist for her entire life, working very, very closely with a variety of different Palestinian organizations in the Middle East. And this is a quote from Vivian. She said, "It infuriates me when people claim that we have no partner on the other side." She went on to say, "I personally know so many Palestinians who absolutely yearn for peace, just like we Israelis do." But what happened, interestingly, was that Vivian realized after 40 years of peace activism that we were not being successful. And she and a number of other women waged an organization, a social movement, Women Wage Peace. And Women Wage Peace called on governments to try to reach diplomatic agreements. And there was a call to all the Palestinian sisters to join in our call to their leader. Because we get to a point in our lives, and when is enough enough? Have we not learned? Have we not learned that wars and terror does not benefit anyone, not politically, not personally, not professionally? And I watched a couple of interviews. Vivian was a widow, and she has two sons. And her two sons, of course, have been interviewed widely. There's been media coverage about Vivian Silver all over the world. And they said that their mom, what she would be saying, despite everything, is that she believed that there would have believed that there should be the ceasefire, and that there should be some really serious efforts, really, really serious efforts to try to come up with a win-win resolution. And the world is talking. The world is talking about the brutal war in the Middle East, where thousands of innocent Israeli and Palestinian men, women, and children have been murdered, taken as hostages, and driven from the safety of their homes. And the historic wounds that both peoples have sustained over decades have never healed, nor have they ever been satisfactorily addressed. Now we know. Whether it's in our personal relationships or our professional relationships or politically, we know that we cannot change history. But what we can do when nations and individuals and families and couples and governments and political parties and corporations are willing to sit down in earnest, it is amazing. It is absolutely amazing what can happen. And I guess, the real question, and I'm sure that we all probably ask ourselves this question from time to time, is when will people learn that negotiation and compromise and trade-offs leading to a win-win resolution, not win-lose, but win-win, is the only way to keep people emotionally and economically and politically and physically safe? Our typical win-lose philosophy of living is helping to destroy societies around the world. And in the world of sports, and many of you know that I have competed in national tennis in Canada throughout my entire childhood. And I have to tell you, I'm still playing probably the best tennis of my life. But in the world of sports, yes, it's expected that there will be winners and losers. However, I want you to take this in, that in the game of life, people coming together to try to work out differences invariably all come out as winners. And that is something that Vivian Silver, she spent her entire life trying to have some really important impact where Palestinians and Israelis would find a way to come together so that there could be the end of the terror and the wars. And I found, and it'd be interesting to hear what you have to say about this, is that it's during crisis that I especially encourage people to take an honest look at their own personal and professional relationships and determine how well or how badly we're actually treating one another. And if you discern, and you have to be really honest with yourself that your relationships are going well, whatever it is that you're doing, keep doing what you're doing and give yourself a really big pat on the back. However, if you've come to the realization that your behavior is cruel or toxic or insensitive or abusive or dismissive, are you willing to actually own it? And more importantly, you should be willing to do something about it, not just talk about it, but take some action and make some necessary changes. So whether it's countries at war or individuals in toxic, dysfunctional family relationships, we have to only take a look at our daily newspapers to see this operating tragically on both sides of yet another war in the Middle East. So in your own lives, we all go through so many ups and downs. And yet the art of communication and problem solving, in fact, this is something that people ask me all the time. They'll say, Beatie, what do you think are the two most important ingredients that make or break relationships? And if we're really honest with ourselves, it really does come down to our ability to communicate and our ability to problem solve. So we've lost Vivian Silver, but hopefully we have not lost everything that Vivian Silver and the Vivian Silvers of the world are trying to do, which is to find ways to help people come together, regardless of our differences, regardless of our differences in all kinds of ways. We need to do a much, much, much better job. Maybe not in learning to love each other, but in learning to find ways to live together. So I say goodbye to my friend, Vivian Silver, and she has been honored around the world. And I think that she is someone who made an incredible impact in all kinds of ways in her quest for peace and activism throughout her entire life. Well, moving ahead. As you know, I have my usual, typical weekly How Are You Doing segment. And this is a segment where we have to be really honest with ourselves in terms of how are we really doing? So if you're looking at your mental health, are you generally happy with your life and your relationships? And are you in pretty good shape when it comes to your mental health? Or are you finding that you're really going around in circles and the periods of depression and anxiety or other psychiatric problems, or you're drinking too much, or you're eating too much, or you're not sleeping sufficiently? Are these issues, are these problems really getting in the way of your life and your relationships? I mean, we are seeing depression and suicide statistics that we've really never seen before, particularly in the world of adolescence. And I'm really hoping that after all these years that I have convinced you that we do not need to navigate life's ups and downs on our own, and that the very, very best thing that we can do when things are not going well, and they are not going well day in and day out, and week in and week out, is to give yourself permission to reach out and ask for help. And what about your relationships? And I think it's really important that we also are honest with ourselves and that we evaluate the people who we have in our life. And I'm someone, it took a little while, but I have zero patience for toxic relationships or toxic people of any kind. And that's not to say that they're not going to be problems and that they're not going to be issues. But living your life with zero toxicity, my friends, it really makes an amazingly wonderful difference in how we are able to function on a day-to-day basis. So I think it's important to take a look at all the people in your life, your significant others, your children, your family, your friends, your colleagues. And if you are finding that your relationships are not what they would you would like, and that you have tried and tried to see whether or not differences can be communicated and resolved in some fashion, and that you're finding yourself in really crazy making kinds of situations. My question then is really, what are you going to do about it? Because I hear this all the time. People will say, well, he did this or she did this. And I think that the question we really need to ask ourselves is what is it? What is it about us where we are allowing and enabling and enabling? We are encouraging toxicity in our relationships. So maybe your goal for the end of the year and 2024 will be the same as my goal, which is zero toxicity. And what about your professional, your financial lives? Are things going very well? In fact, I had a patient who I was meeting with a couple of days ago, and he came from a family where everybody was in the financial sector. His mother, his father, his stepfather. And he kind of found himself in this world, but in fact, through our therapy, he has been willing to really look inward and see that finances and money is not exactly the way he wants to be spending his life. So he is having to make a real 360 in trying to figure out what it is that he wants to do versus what it is that his family and everybody else thinks that he should be doing. So he's going to be working with a career counselor, and it's going to be interesting to see what interests and what joys and what pleasures and what professional endeavors he actually really wants to engage in. What about substance abuse? Are you drinking too much? Are you taking too many pills? And if you're not sure, you may want to ask a close friend or someone to corroborate your own thoughts and feelings about this if you are not sure. And of course, all of this takes an incredible amount of honesty and self-reflection and introspection. And what about your physical health? Are you basically living your life? And this is a big question. In ways that are in your best interest across the board. You know, having a yearly physical, having your blood work, making sure that you're taking your medications as prescribed, making sure that you're walking and you're not just sitting at the computer and the devices day in and day out. And again, if you're finding, and this requires a lot of honesty on your part, that things are off track. My mantra, which I hope will become your mantra, is to be willing to acknowledge, address, and resolve whatever it is that is getting in the way of your life and your relationships. And remember, you do not need to do this on your own. So I've asked you some tough questions. And now it's time to review your answers. And hopefully you are on the right track. But what you may discover is that you are on a path, on a destructive, self-destructive path that's causing you a lot of pain in your life. So we all know that it's very difficult to be fully truthful with ourselves. Yet it is our avoidance and our denial, whether it's in relationships with others or in relationships with ourselves, our blame, our self-blame, and defensiveness that keep us in a downward spiral. And it does. It takes a lot of courage to be willing to acknowledge, address, and resolve as best as we can the things that continue to get in the way of our lives and our relationships, understanding, of course, that we cannot change our history. And yet, what are the consequences if we refuse to step up to the plate and confront our demons, the old and the new? It becomes increasingly more difficult to fully enjoy our life. So I leave you with one question before we are going to meet an amazing guest that I'm going to be introducing you to in a couple of seconds. The real question, my friends, is what are you going to do? What lessons have you learned? And given the reality of your life and your situations, are you willing today to step up to the plate and be willing to acknowledge, address, and resolve as best as you can the people and the things that are continuing to get in the way of your life and your relationships? Well, I'm very excited today to have a guest. And her name is Linda Ward. Linda is an author and a seasoned life coach with her own practice, Courage Daily Coaching. She specializes in helping mature women rediscover everyday happiness. And we all need to find ways, that's for sure, to rediscover everyday happiness. She zeroes in on life after divorce, retirement, transitions, and finding the courage in life, no matter what the circumstances are, to carry on and even thrive. Now, interestingly, it was a crisis, as it is for so many people, that really prompted Linda to take a look at this in the way that she has. Because at 47, at age 47, after 23 years of marriage, everything fell apart. She was, in quotes, broken, severely depressed, defeated, and that she would drag herself to work motivated by financial fear. And yet, Linda, welcome, welcome. You have found ways, despite what happened to you at 47, and I really want to hear about that, to dig yourself out and to help yourself and to help other women really thrive. So again, I really want to welcome you to the Ask Beattie Show, and thank you for the patience. I can see you on the video. I'm sitting through my initial intro. So, Linda, what happened? What happened at 47 that everything fell apart?
Well, hello everyone, and thank you so much for listening to me and my story. So, what happened? If I'll paint you a picture first of this sweet little Midwestern housewife that lived in a nice little house with two teenage boys and a husband who loved her so much, and we would walk around our neighborhood hand in hand. So we were just happy. This is my side of the story. I was very happy. But things started to fall apart in our marriage. I couldn't really understand what was happening. And so we decided to seek some counseling. And in the counseling, what was revealed was that my husband was gay.
Wow. Wow. This is after 23 years of marriage.
That's right. And so it I did not have a clue, and to be like hit upside the head like that, without any really knowing how to cope. I had just depended on him and built this little happy home, and everything was shattered. So from there, I needed to find a way to rebuild my life in a completely different manner. And so that's what has prompted me to help people find their own courage and start a business called Courage Daily.
So let me ask you this, Linda. Did you end up getting a divorce or did you continue living together? And what were his explanations? I mean, did he have another life or what was it that was actually going on during the 23 years of marriage?
That's a great question, and I'm not so sure that I have all those answers about what exactly went on that I don't know, but I have several. I have enough for me to keep going. And he would travel often, and I'm sure that's where a lot of his activity with other men took place. Let's see if I can kind of pointed back to those days of where he was trying to be a good husband and trying to be a good father. I believe that he did love me, but he had this incredible conflict inside himself. And
For sure.
so he was raised in a very traditional Christian family, and I think that he was trying to live in denial for, so many years about who he really was. And
I would
I
guess. I mean, times fortunately have changed where we're much more open, at least in many parts of the world and the United States. And I'm just curious, and if this is a little bit too personal, a little bit digging too deep for your comfort level, just tell me. But I mean, did you have an active sex life with him during these 23 years?
Yes, of course, that would be then a bisexual instead of just a gay person. And so that's why I didn't have a clue. So we were actively involved when he would come home after traveling. And just I felt that we were healthy in almost every way of our marriage. So after everything was revealed, of course, I felt like I was probably the most duped woman on earth who didn't take advantage of cues that must have been in front of me. But I don't kick myself for that anymore.
I mean, in retrospect, and then we're going to move on and talk about your book. You say cues. I mean, in retrospect, we're all brilliant.
Yes, aren't we?
Right? When you think back, though, I mean, since everything seemed, on the surface to be going so well, including in the bedroom, what sort of clues do you think that you may, in retrospect, that you may have missed? There may not have been any.
Well, there were very, very few because I believe my ex-husband was so dedicated to try to keep this together and make it work that he covered every angle and made it just quite a disguise. But I do recall one time in finding some literature that I questioned him about of some gay literature that he had in his backpack, and questioned
Interesting.
deeply about that with lots of tears because I didn't understand. And he, of course, lied to get out of that situation. And I believed him because that was how I was made, was to be very trusting and very much believing in your husband. So
You had no reason. I mean, had you not found this, I mean, there would have been no reason from what you're saying to be second guessing yourself at all. Did you divorce well?
yes, I would say so. Although I was a shattered woman, of course, but
Of course.
he obviously had known his tendencies for so long that he had lived this scenario out many times in his head. So he was not putting up objections, but I hadn't lived anything out, and so I was. It was really difficult for me to come to the realization this had to happen, and that I was going to go forward, and I was going to live through it somehow.
And it seems like you have more than just lived through it. And your children too. I mean, that must have been quite a shock. Quite a revelation. How did they adjust, and how have they adjusted to the fact that mom and dad are divorced, and dad is gay, and that life goes on?
I guess there's nothing I can really do to resolve this heartbreak for them. And that they are very intelligent and they are wonderful boys, but there's this thing that happened in our family that doesn't ever get erased. And so they, like myself, are on their own path to find a way to have that be okay. So it's been many years since 2017, and I believe they have found their path and their way. I believe that they're strong and they have a relationship with their father and with me. And so I would say it's been the best that it can be for them, although it was rocky and difficult. They were teenage boys, and everyone in their school
They
knew.
did.
So
Everybody found out. But when you think about this, you were all really victims of circumstances, including your husband. Here he was caught and afraid or ashamed to come out because of circumstances. You, of course, didn't know anything and couldn't have known anything, and your sons also. So here you have a situation, where there was no one to blame. It was just he didn't know how, for a variety of reasons, even I'm sure before you got married,
yes,
to deal with this. But it seems like you've found all kinds of ways to move on.
Well, don't we though? I mean, it was either that or curl up in the corner, which I did a few times, and cry my eyes out to curl up and try to figure out how in the world was I going to go forward. But we're so resilient, and we do
Yes.
find a way. And I found a lot of courage just to keep moving.
Did you have a lot of support from friends, from family, maybe professionals to help you get back on a new path?
I would say no. So I was a very vital member of a small church community, and I believe that they just did not know what to do with us.
Oh my.
All the support and friendship and just life-giving support I had received from them and being part of that community melted away quickly.
Really?
That
Wow.
was gone. I have siblings, but they were very involved with raising their own children and their own lives, and that was gone. My mother was still surviving. She was totally flabbergasted
Yeah.
and didn't know what to do. But I did have a therapist. I had a therapist, and the therapist stood by me, helped me through probably 3 years of therapy to continue and bounce back.
And just looking at you, because we have the video on, I wish that this show that there was a video, but at least we are looking at each other on Zoom right now. It sounds like you've really found your way, Linda. And I'm curious, why did you decide that you wanted to write this book, Crazy Simple Steps to Feeling Happier? How did that happen?
Well, I've been a life coach for several years, especially after I retired from in 2017. I started my own business, but I was a coach before that as well. And I believe my listeners and my clients and people that read my blogs and my writing, they chose it because I would go back to see what articles generated the most interest? What do people really want and need? And the article I wrote on everyday happiness generated the most. And so in giving that some thought, I realized I needed to gather together these simple steps that people can do that will help raise their happiness level in life. And I believe I kind of coined the phrase everyday happiness rather than like being happy over the moon. It's like this daily walk of happiness in your life. And that's what prompted me to write the book, Crazy Simple Steps to Feeling Happier.
And I see in your bio, because I want everybody to hear about the crazy simple steps that you have identified to feeling happier, but you are remarried, right?
I am remarried. So I had quite a path after my first marriage. I quickly got married again. And I've heard your podcast on second marriages and third marriages.
Yeah,
And the statistics that go with them are very bad. But my second marriage failed quickly. So I believe that was a byproduct of not giving myself enough time to heal and progress, be okay within myself, to
right.
seek someone else to make me better, which the person I picked made it so much worse. I'm married now after 10 years of not being in a relationship after those two marriages to a fantastic person. And I just didn't realize that marriage could be this happy. So
Wonderful.
yes, and we just celebrated our 7th anniversary.
How interesting. My husband and I, Jim, we just celebrated our 7th anniversary as well. So that's it's so true that you're never too old and it's never too late. potentially to fall in love and have a great life. Did you meet your husband online? I'm very curious. Or did you meet him in person, and did somebody introduce you?
We have a great story. It's really kind of funny. We met in a coffee shop, and I saw him sitting over in the side with his computer or something, and thought, he's so handsome. And he says he saw me and thought, I like the way she looks too. But we were both so scared. We both met someone at friends. So I had a girlfriend meeting me, and he had a friend meeting him. And I was telling my girlfriend how that man over there looked kind of interesting, and she wanted me to talk to him, but I was too scared. And so she took my email address and put it on a piece of paper and delivered it for me.
You see how great, when I hear these kinds of stories, Linda, where people actually, they leave their apartments or houses, they get away from their computers, they actually go to a coffee shop or some shop, and the potential of meeting people is still there. Because so many people that I treat and that I know, I mean, nobody seems to be going anywhere. Everything in terms of meeting seems to be online, and I keep saying, well, get out of your comfort level and you may meet somebody in person, which is exactly what you were able to do, even though you were feeling shy. So your friend, she did exactly the right thing.
She did. She's
She did.
responsible. Otherwise, I would have walked away from that potential connection and never saw him again, probably.
So,
So,
so interesting. Yeah, it's about putting ourselves out and being very careful who we let into our lives. But I want to hear, and I want my listeners to hear about the crazy simple steps to feeling happier. So let's start at the beginning.
okay. Well, I have this belief within myself that every person has the answer within them. So we have our answers in our life. We just need to figure them out. And sometimes you need a therapist or a coach to help you dig those out to your consciousness so that you are able to take the steps. But I felt like people were making it way too hard to be happy. They wanted to be happy on a level of, like, if you say, a scale of 1 to 10. They didn't feel like they achieved it unless they were up at a 9 or a 10, and that's just so unrealistic. When I think of the times that I've been up at a 9 or a 10, I can there's just a little handful of times in life that you are happy at that level. So that's unrealistic. But then everyday happiness is like the level where you live. And so if you ask yourself, like, where am I normally? Let's say you're normally going through just such a hard time, you live at a 2. There's nothing wrong with that. You're okay. But what could you do to get up to a 3? And there's positive, simple, doesn't cost you anything, steps to take to move up that happiness level just a little bit and enjoy life more than where you're at. And so that's what's prompting me. And
And you know,
without
you're
giving away,
right. You're right. And I was going to say that sometimes, as you pointed out, we need reminders, because somebody who's at a 1 or a 2 and may not be suicidal, but may have been someone who's just kind of basically given up on life, may be so down, so depressed that they can't even envision what they could do to bring themselves from a 2 to a 3.
you're so right about that. They can't even start. They don't know where to start. And they think, maybe I should invest in going to a happiness retreat, or maybe I should put a lot of money into it, or whatever. And you can do those things. But I believe that it's simple everyday steps that will help you just to enjoy your life more. And like you said, these are reminders. It's nothing fantastically brilliant or beyond what you may have already heard somewhere. It's just reminders to begin and take those simple steps to everyday happiness.
Let me ask you this. Let's say that there are people who are listening to the show, and hopefully they're not a two or a three. Hopefully they're getting ready for Thanksgiving and they have support and friends and family, but maybe they don't. So, what would you suggest? What are some of the steps that you would suggest today that they begin that they may not have thought about because they're feeling so badly, that they can do right now to start to feel happier today?
Well, I'll tell a few, but I don't want to tell too many because the book is there for that. But maybe one thing they could do is think back to when they were a child and what did they really love. Like, I have a sister-in-law that loved crafts and loved being handy with her hands and doing things like that. But as an adult, she has not allowed that to happen. And so when we talked about it, it kind of revived this excitement in her to do something that she did as a child that she really loved. So she went to the store. What did she buy? She bought, I forget what she decided to do, but it was something that required her to put something together. And just the basic, simple steps of figuring that out and actually doing it helped her to elevate her happiness level just a little bit, just a notch. So that's
You know,
one.
one of the, right, and you know, one of the things, as you know, you as a life coach, me, you know, as a therapist, that I learned a long time ago is that there's two ways basically to change how you feel. One is to work on the feelings, 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 and hope that the feelings are going to change. And the other is to work on the behavior and how a change in behavior, doing something really positive, really specific, can really change the feelings. So that if the feeling part, you're focused on the feelings, and that's not kind of getting you where you want to go, it's not working. As you said, doing something, taking action, behavioral action, can really make all the difference in the world. You know, I'm going to share something personal with you, and I know listeners have heard me say this before, but I'm somebody who has to deal with seasonal affective disorder. And when the sun goes down and the weather gets cold, which is one of the reasons why I love living in Sarasota, Florida, things start to change for me. And I mean, they're absolutely chemical changes. It's not anything in my life other than my chemistry. And it at times can be extremely difficult. So I have a regime. I know when this starts, and I'm in the middle of it right now, and I will have coffee with my husband, who makes my coffee every single morning, which is the way I start my day. I then get on the treadmill. We have a treadmill in the apartment, and I really work it. And it is so amazing. It's so amazing. And it's the same thing that happens to me when I play tennis. I mean, I was number 10 in Canada as a junior, and I play competitive tennis now. It's like a switch. And I know that if I talked, and tried to feel differently, that nothing was going to change for me at all. And I've learned as you're talking that it is taking those action steps, whether we feel like it, whether we don't feel like it, and that that can really transform our mood.
It can, and it's a simple action step sometimes. So
Right.
getting on the treadmill, it doesn't require a lot except that motivation to get yourself on there and begin. So another thing is like a list. I'm so amazed that many women don't understand what things make them happy. And so in my work with women, I ask them to make a list of at least 10 things. And if they can fill up the page, that's even better, that they know if they do them, they feel better. And then on days where they they're down and they can't really think, they can take their list out and try one. Just try
Yes.
one. And so that many times helps them figure it out again, reminds
Right.
them.
Right. And of course, if you, as you've mentioned, and we know that sometimes, despite all of our efforts to deal with our feelings and to put our feelings into action, that there is a need to reach out and get professional help. And at times there's a real need for medication. Even though medication in this country is overly, overly, overly prescribed for kids, for adolescents, for adults. But I mean, there are times that, you really do need to, not beat yourself up. And when things are not working despite all of your efforts, and kind of get a second opinion on what's going on and what to do.
Yes, that's so valuable. As I mentioned before, I had 3 years of therapy. And in those times, able to like get and express things that needed to be expressed, which you might not tell anyone else in your whole life. So the value of that, you cannot put a price on that. Sometimes you just needed to rebalance yourself. And sometimes you just need simple little step to rebalance yourself. So yes, all of that works together for people to find that balance and everyday happiness.
Well, it seems like you found your balance in everyday happiness, haven't you? I can just see the big smile on your beautiful face. And life, I mean, one never knows what goes on behind closed doors, but it seems as if life is going pretty well for you right now in the
Would say yes. I have read many magazines and articles about the best time in life is after retirement. And well, for me and my situations in life, I would say this section or time of my life has just been so peaceful and happy. But it's also the work that I put in to get to that point and doing the things that I say in the book or that I would lead people to do in my practice with Courage Daily, actually doing them has helped me to come to that place of happiness in my own life and peace and balance. So of course I have those days that aren't going so well like everyone else, but yes, I feel like I have the tools. And through Courage Daily and the book, I want to give women or anyone interested the tools to get that balance.
Right. I would hope that you're very proud of yourself, what you've done, what you've accomplished, getting through this very traumatic period in your life, finding love, not giving up, writing a book, starting a coaching practice. I mean, are you proud of your accomplishments?
Well, I would say that sometimes I need to be reminded of that. The other day, I was thinking about just how difficult it was when my husband came out and oh, the years that followed that were difficult, and to where I am today. And I said to myself, you know what, Linda, you're badass.
Yeah.
So sometimes you take stock of where you've been to where you are and you're really happy you've made the courageous choices to
Right.
do these things to keep going in life. And it's not that I'm any different than anyone else or special. It's just that step by step, I did take the courageous steps to get better. And I know other women and people can do the same.
Right. And you took the courageous steps, as you said, without support. Have any of these relationships been rekindled? I mean, I always say that we certainly find out who our friends are when there's a problem. So did any of these people
realize that they abandoned you, your family, your church friends? Did they come to terms with the fact that they behaved pretty cruelly and pretty badly when their friend and family member was going through a crisis?
I think my brothers and sisters were always there. I just didn't know it. I mean, they didn't have a way of showing it in a supportive way at that time. But since that time, they've acknowledged how sad they were, different feelings. So, not to minimize that I do have their wonderful support now, and they are part of my who's in my bubble.
Right.
But as far as the church members, there maybe has been one friend that continued to stand by me through everything. And
Really, that was it.
that was it. And it's quite surprising because I was a very active and well known in that church. So
Did you leave the church and find a new church with people who were who had real souls and real sense of what it means to care when a church member and fellow Christian is in trouble?
I did leave that church. It was
Good.
just too difficult to continue there. And I've rekindled actually my own connection with God. So that was also very broken. Very broken. I just couldn't rationalize the two, that God cared for me and yet all this happened. So I've had quite a journey to get back there. And the good part of leaving the church is I went to another church who didn't know anything that I went through, and I could just present there and go from that point on. And I didn't have to tell my story because I couldn't at that point. So
Right.
it's been a journey there too. That
I bet. You know what? I'm curious, Linda, if you had told your story, what the reaction might have been.
I'm sure that I wasn't ready to find that reaction.
Right,
So,
right.
but I think that we've evolved. Okay, we're talking several years ago, a decade or two ago, and I think many people have evolved to accept people that are going through really difficult phases of life with more openness than what it was at the point that I went through it. I would hope
Yes.
so. And I think that in the church communities, people do find those people that are ready and mature enough to accept no matter what it is you're walking through at the time.
Right. How is your ex-husband doing?
Well, we have a little bit of communication due to our two boys. But health-wise, he's not doing well. But from the outside looking in, it would seem that he's done quite well since marriage broke up. So that has been another area of me being okay with that.
Good, good, good. Well, listen, Linda, this has been a real pleasure to meet you and to hear your story. And I loved your openness, and I think people should definitely read your book, The Crazy Simple Steps to Feeling Happier. And the other thing is that you can visit Linda's website. It's courageDaily.com. All of this is going to be in the archive so that when people go back to listen to the show, they're going to be able to have your contact information. And again, I want to thank you so much, for being a guest and being so open. And I'm thrilled that you have found ways, you took action to really turn your life around in a very positive way. And I want to wish you and your family a very, very happy Thanksgiving. And again, it was a pleasure to meet you. And we should definitely stay in touch.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to meet you
Okay.
too.
Take
All right.
care and have a good rest of the day and a good holiday. Well, everybody, it is amazing how the time comes and goes. And what is the takeaway? What is your takeaway from my conversation, with Linda Ward? I think the first thing, hopefully, is that we never give up. And this is one of the things as a competitive tennis player. I remember my dad was my coach, and you learn when you're competing at that level that you can be down and out, but that you don't walk off the court, that you find new strategies, you find new ways to stay in the game. And of course, what we're talking about is a much more important game than a tennis game. We're talking about the game of life. And the other takeaway that I hope that you have every single week when you're listening to the Ask Speedy Show is that we don't need to navigate all of this on our own. And professional athletes and people in the entertainment business, I mean, we all have coaches and managers and agents to really help us in our journey. So again, the never giving up is one really important lesson that I hope you're going to take away and internalize and really believe. And the other, of course, is making sure that if you don't have the family and the friends, that you can always reach out to a professional, a good professional. And that's a whole other subject about how to find a really good therapist. Therapists are not all the same, so that you're not going to have to feel alone in navigating the ups and downs of life. Well, I want to leave you with my 2 weekly messages. And the first, of course, this is apropos everything that Linda Ward and I have talked about, is to make sure that you are doing everything possible to love yourself and that you're finding ways to live your life in ways that are in your best interest. And again, be careful. We need to be careful, not paranoid, but be very, very careful about the people who we choose to let into our lives. And secondly, we all need to do, whether we're talking politically, personally, or professionally, we all need to do a much, much, much better job in learning to accept each other. You know, I used to say to love each other. Well, maybe we're not going to love each other, but to be able to accept each other's differences and put an end to the violence and put an end to wars around the world. So Thanksgiving is just a couple of days away, and hoping that you are going to be able to take some time off and that you do have friends and family that you can share the holiday with. And if you don't, you know, one of the things that I've often suggested is that you do some volunteer work, because I know that there would be a lot of people who would be alone and would love to be able to share their holiday time and times with somebody who cared enough to want to volunteer. So again, I wish you a really good rest of the day and a happy Thanksgiving, and I will talk with you next week and every Monday from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the Ask Beattie Show. So love yourselves, and let's love each other better, accept each other more, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye, everybody.
Help. I need somebody. Help. Not just anybody. Help.